Chris Butero of ReviewFix.com interviewing John Tardy from Obituary at the Gramercy Theater in New York City on September 11th of all days. What's your favorite thing about being back?
Back to New York?
Back in general, like back in Obituary, just back doing all this again.
It's fun. I mean, obviously the live show is what it's all about. You know what I mean? That's, you know, we always like to say we work 23 hours a day, but we have 1 hour off every night. So,
yeah.
But, you know, the live shows are just are the funnest. Mm-hmm.
This is a fan-generated set list for the tour. Why and how did you make it possible?
Well, we kind of got asked by a couple of promoters if we'd be interested in doing something like that. And because Darkest Day has now been out for a couple of years, mm-hmm. We did a lot of touring for it. And we were playing 6-7 songs off that record. Which was great, you know, but it just seems like it's a good time now. We can go back and, we put some fan questions out there. Everybody started putting things in. We thought maybe we would do, like, the whole Soli record. But then we got to looking at it, and the Incomplete's 20 years old this year. Mm-hmm. So we're like, well, we can't just ignore that. We got to do some songs off that. So we decided to do songs off the first three albums, which worked out good. We do, like, 6 songs, I think, off all three albums. So it covers them really well. It's been fun. We had to go back, and there's so many songs we've never even played live.
That's awesome.
And there's literally 4 songs that we have been playing in the last 15 years. All the other ones we had to go back and relearn. Mm. So it's exciting for us, you know, instead of going up there, not even have to think about what you're doing. You've been playing the songs so much that you don't think about it, you just go out there and do them. These first three shows have been doing some thinking, you know, so I'm screwing them up too, but you know, I covered up a little bit. But so it's been great. I think it's been a lot of fun for us.
Obviously, today is September 11th in New York City, and it's Obituary, you know, of all bands to be playing on that day. What was the reaction to the irony when you guys first noticed?
Well, I mean, obviously, the first, you know, thing that comes to mind is just, you know, just being, you know, a lot of people down here and just, you know, a lot of police presence and things like that. You know, we had to leave the bus parked outside the city and the trailer outside the city and everything. We had to take cabs in. We had to get a truck just to bring the trailer in, unload it, and had to leave again.
Really?
Yeah. So, you know, it's been some inconveniences there. But you know what? Being here is cool at the same time. You know, forget the name and the stuff, you know, the metal, the music that we play. We don't even take our music seriously. Mm-hmm. Forget trying to tie it into to September 11th. It's just not what Obituary is about anyway.
Right.
It's all fictional type stuff anyway to us. So we don't really get that much into that. But, you know, hey, obviously, you know, what happened on September 11th is just totally just insane to even think about today. So, we just kind of go on about another night. You know, we're doing some stuff. Some of the money for the tickets is going to some of the families and things like that. So other than that, it's just kind of status quo for us. You know, let's move on and remember, but don't let it change, you know, what we're going to do with our lives. So.
Of course.
Again, about the $2 ticket donation through Live Nation, how was that set up? Like, was that you guys, or was that your press? Whose idea was that?
It was just kind of almost a gimme. Once you notice you're playing here, you know, I mean, it didn't take too many people to sit and talk to each other. It was just pretty much everybody knew something's got to get done. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So there's a Fender guitar that's going to be getting away. People can sign up for and stuff. And you know, a couple bucks. You know, obviously our shows aren't huge, so I don't know if it's going to make a huge impact on somebody's life financially. I wish we could do more. But you know what? Sometimes every little bit helps. You know, when you get a lot of people doing little bits here and there, it all adds up. So it was just kind of everybody didn't really have to talk much. Like I said, it was just pretty much an assumed thing that something's got to get done, just, you know, in the spirit of things. So.
Awesome.
What's your thoughts on Broken Hope's reunion?
I think it's great, you know. I mean, we obviously have known and played with those guys years and years ago. So to be on a bus with some of those guys again is cool to see, because we're sharing a bus with them, which is awesome. It's been a blast. And, you know, it's good for them. You know, they did stuff for a long time, so to see them back together again, be it, you know, maybe not everybody, you know, make some pieces of, you know, people, it's still killer, you know, hearing the music again and stuff like that. Right. So I think it's good for them.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you said you played with them before, was it just like Chicago shows here and there during a tour, or did you actually do a tour with them?
Yeah, you know what? I'm not really sure. I don't know as if we ever did like a full U.S. tour with them. So it would have been probably shows here and there. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe them jumping on a show in Chicago and But still, nonetheless, you know, anytime we come through town, they're always coming out to the show. So, right. You know, they're just good friends of ours anyway, you see it.
Okay. So did you guys have anything to do with getting them on the bill? Like, did you hear about the reunion and then say, okay, we want these guys on the tour?
No.
Or was it just chance?
Yeah, that was the Rock the Nation thing. They kind of set the tour up.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, they originally kind of came to us. You know, we've had the same booking agent in Europe for like forever, 20 years now. We're the same guy that we love, you know. But in the States, it's been hard for us to settle in on somebody that we really enjoy working with. Mm. So, you know, Rock the Nation, we've worked with them before with their European side. So, you know, this side, you know, they're kind of getting started and getting things going. So when they called us, it was interesting right off the bat. But they initially asked us if we wanted to tour with Tom Warrior.
Really?
So we were like, yeah, let's do it. But, you know, that didn't work out.
Right.
And then he came at us with the Broken Hope and this whole Carnival Death package. Mm-hmm. So, and, you know, and in hindsight, it's, you know, it's great. We're having a good time. The crowds are good. And I think the bill is, you know, working out pretty good every night. So
this is the first time Obituary's playing as a four-piece. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, we did it in Europe already. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I think it's fun. I mean, you know, nobody's really saying much about the fact that there's not a whole lot of solos getting done.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to me, some of those albums that kind of got maybe a little overdone anyway, you know what I mean, with some of the solos. It's just not what's key to Obituary's mute sound, you know what I mean,
right.
in my opinion. I think, you know, Donald and Trevor kind of agree, which is kind of why we're rolling as a four-piece. You know, like the Tardy Brothers album we did, we had like five different people doing leads. It was much more involved and geared towards leads. You know, the Obituary stuff is just the sheer heaviness of the sound and built around that. And it just doesn't seem to miss it a whole lot. It'll be interesting to see what you think tonight.
Okay.
But we do set Trevor up with two heads and two different rigs and a foot switch. So he actually mutes one side and starts a song, and then when it kicks in, he stomps the pedal, and another amp comes on, so it winds up sounding like two guitars.
Yeah,
you know, two of Trevor's guitars make it heavy as balls. But so it's been cool. It'll be interesting to see what you think tonight.
Yeah, and Terry Butler's playing bass for this tour. Yeah. Is he just touring, or is he going to become permanent?
No, he is definitely permanent.
Okay,
you know, and we've known Terry longer than we've been in this band, so. The fact that he is now in our band after all these years is just awesome. I mean, it just almost feels like he's been with us ever since, you know, from the beginning. He is just definitely as much as a brother to me as my own brother is. So, it just seamless, you know, transition into things, and it's awesome having him around. So.
Do you have any stories of Terry when he was in Massacre?
We played shows with them when we're, you know, back in high school, you know, little civic centers and things like that, you know, Obituary Massacre kind of shows. And so, we, you know, like I said, we've known them before we even started playing music.
Right.
And then the first shows that we were doing usually were with Massacre, or we're doing a show at some, you know, little club or some, you know, skate, some whatever it might have been back at the time. You know, he would have been there anyway.
Right.
You know, it's interesting because, you know, he's really into metal. I mean, like, he has, like, an album collection of, like, I don't even know how many, but, like, thousands. He has walls full of vinyl at his house and stuff. So when you get into talking about music, he, like, knows almost everybody. And there'll be a lot of times someone, like, ask me a question, like, well, you know, in 1993 on that tour you did, who were you touring with? And I'll be like, I have no idea, I don't remember. And Terry back, you guys were with so-and-so. And I'll be like, all right, hey, thanks, man. You know, he wasn't even in the band, and he knows. So
wow.
He's like an encyclopedia walking around with us, so it's good.
That's awesome. Now, will there be a new Obituary album or a Tardy Brothers album?
Yeah, there'll be both. We had planned on having an Obituary album already done.
Okay.
And just didn't work out. We even took like 3 months off to write it and wound up spending more time in the boat than we did the studio. Mm-hmm. So, but you know what? We don't really care. It's not like, you know, we're under any pressure under ourselves to do it. We'll get it done when it's done. We did get a lot done. I mean, we got a significant amount of the album kind of put together. We got like three or four songs that are pretty well. You could probably hit record on them, just kind of dress them up some. But, now that we're on this tour, we're going to be back in Europe November and December. So, you know, maybe come January, we'll get back to try and finish that thing up. And maybe March or so, get in the studio. And sometime next year, get that thing done. But whatever happens, happens.
Now, The Incomplete, it's regarded as the best-selling death metal album ever released. It's got over 250,000 worldwide, as well as it's got the best-selling shirt in Roadrunner catalog, as far as I know, because of the little demon on the T.
Yeah.
What's your thoughts on that, and how does it feel to be the guy that's accomplished that?
Well, I mean, that's obviously cool, you know, especially nowadays. It just becomes harder and harder to sell records, you know, altogether. You know, so those early albums, you know, the artwork was such a part of it. You know, you get a big piece of vinyl with a big, you can actually sit and study artwork and look at it. You know, now most kids get a thumbnail on their phone and
right.
It really doesn't even matter what it is. But that was the first album. The Incomplete was the first one we did with Andreas Marshall also. He was the one that kind of came up with the Creature and the Tea.
Okay.
And over the years, we've done a lot of albums with him now because he's really good. We can kind of give him general ideas, like Frozen in Time, we had the whole idea, but you give him something, just a rough idea, and then he kind of goes off, and that whole Creature in the Snow and stuff, Frozen, and you know, he just does some really cool stuff and color. So,
why did Obituary leave Roadrunner for Candlelight?
You know what? We fulfilled our contract. It was done.
Okay.
They just seemed to be going places that were, you know, bigger and better than, you know, than what Obituary would do for them. Mm-hmm. You know, to be honest with you. So, you know, as soon as you know, and as soon as that kind of happens, and I don't even have a problem with it. The only thing that kind of sucked is in Frozen in Time when we told them, if you guys don't want to do the album, just say so, you know. But they're like, no, we'll do it, do it. And of course, the album comes out, and you know, the album was great, all the reviews and everything, but they didn't do hardly anything for it, so that didn't help the actual sale of it. But you know, that's just not even us. That's just how things are going. Most bands just do not sell the amount of albums. Nobody does that they used to, you know. So it was no big deal to us. So you know, we left, you know, Roadrunner and moved on.
Mm-hmm. Obituary split from 97 to 2003. What did you do for a living? And do you still work the same job in between tours?
I actually had the same job all the way up until Darkest Day.
Really?
Yep, I worked the same job the entire time. So Darkest Day was the first time that I didn't have anything other than the band that I was doing, oddly enough. Just got lucky, you know, it's an engineering company. I've been with them for a long time. They liked me, so they let me kind of come and go.
Well, that's cool.
And it was really neat, really cool with them. Just moved on. We've been really so busy that it's just hard to do more than just the band right now, you know.
So. Are there any new bands that you enjoy right now?
There's newer albums that have come out. I don't know if the bands are necessarily new. I'm really kind of stuck in the past with the music mm-hmm. I listen to. I grew up on Frost and Slayer and Venom and stuff, and that's really what I like to listen to. But, you know, I mean, the new Lamb of God album is insane. Mm-hmm. I listen to a lot of the Hank III, his new albums are awesome. And Reverend Horton Heat, I like all the stuff that he does. But I listen to, you know, so much weird, you know, music, blues, rock, country, and everything, you know, so no new metal bands, you know, that I've really kind of come across and I've been listening to a lot.
Death metal's just come from such a long way. Like, it started with you guys in Florida and, like, the upper New York area to just be in something, I don't mean to be insulting, it's a little more simpler.
Well, it's, you know, especially when you talk Obituary's music, it is definitely caveman. There's no doubt about that. It is slow, doomy. You know, there's nothing technical about our music at all. You know, but that's just, it's what we like. You know, it's really what we like to do, and just how we go about things. You know, there's obviously all kinds of other bands out there that are much more technical and much crazier, all the stuff that they do. But it's not us. You know, we're just, you know, simple and caveman like you know, approach to things. So.
Right. But how can you, like, what can you say about the way that it's progressed? It's gone from the way it started to just getting more technical, just adding more things here and there, and now it's just taking a whole new roller coaster of its own.
I mean, I guess it's like, you know, especially when we kind of started, we kind of got, you know, kind of right place, right time kind of thing. You know, when it first kind of came out, it was new to a lot of people. I mean, there was some stuff out there like the early Hellhammer and Frost that was out and Venom that kind of started doing it, but it really wasn't a lot of people listening to that. Not that there's a lot of people listening to our music now, but you know, as far as the music goes. So anytime you have that, and as soon as you get some bands that get a little bit of success, you know, other bands instantly want to jump in there, and then they start putting their own taste to it, and then of course it gets divided up and called 10 million different things. You know, to the point where I was like, you know what, to me it's just all metal. You know what I mean? Just let it ride. But that's what's cool about music. You know what I mean? You can take, you know, whether you're country, you can be heavy and fast country, or you can be slow, traditional kind of stuff. But every music gives you that outlet to, you know, like, do, you know, do what you like, and then put the twist that you like to do to it, you know?
Awesome. Do you prefer big venues or smaller clubs?
It's hard to say. I mean, some of the big festivals we play, you know, you walk out there, obviously, you walk out on stage in front of 50,000 people, mm-hmm. and that takes your breath away every time.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's cool. You know, not a lot of people get to do that, and there's no doubt that that's cool. But sometimes you walk out there on stage, and the closest kid's about, you know, 50 to 75 feet or yards away from you, and you can't even see them. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? So it loses something there.
Right.
Whereas it's cool doing that, I think venues more like tonight are really kind of up Obituary's alley.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if we can kind of fill up a room like that, I think we can really kind of kill something like that. So,
what's your favorite live song to play?
Jeez, that's a tough question. We got so many songs nowadays to go through those things. You know, we don't have a lot of songs that are fast with fast singing, so it's been kind of fun for me to do some of that live. It's kind of challenging. So we're playing Back to One, which we haven't played in years and years.
Oh, really?
So I'll just go off kind of the set that we're playing now. Back to One's a lot of fun. And we also do... Dead Silence, which just starts off and it's so heavy, where it's
wow.
just guitars and the vocals start. It's just kind of cool when it's, you know, I only have to sing a few lines in it, which is also good for me mm-hmm. too. But so those are two kind of my favorite of the ones we're doing, at least on this side. So.
Cool. Which song would you say, like, to a new person that's just walking in tonight and doesn't really know anything about Obituary, if you could pick one song that just defines everything about Obituary, which one would it be?
That's hard, and you know, and I almost have to look at it two ways, because if we're sitting in the car and I'm going to put a CD in for you to listen to, you know, some of our older albums, like Slowly, it was done on 8 tracks. We were in high school. We had no idea what we were doing. We had mm-hmm. no money. It was just, so the recording isn't that great. You know, I sit back and listen to it now, and I'm like, what the hell were we thinking with that snare drum, or what the hell was that, and this and that. So to me, production-wise, as the albums went on, so I'd be tempted to put some of our newer stuff on, where at least I'm happier with the production of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If we're playing live, there may be some older songs that I would say, you know, let's play this for him to do that. But, you know, once again, with so many songs, to try and limit it down to one song would be tough. You know, the song Slowly Rot, just because it's so old and so classic Obituary, and especially when we play it live, it kind of gets the pit really raging. So, you know, Slowly Rot might be a candidate for that, but that's a tough question to answer.
What kind of superpower do you have?
Do I have?
Yep.
I don't have any superpowers, man.
Well, if you could have one, which one would it be?
I would blink my eyes and be sitting on my couch at home, and then I would blink them again, and I'd be on stage hearing the first count in for the first song, and then I can go right back to it.
That's awesome.
There you go.
Thanks so much, man,
yeah, cool,
for doing
brother.
This.
All right, man. All good.